Good day to everyone out there, whether you're on Twitch, Facebook Live, or on YouTube. This is the first podcast that we're doing of the Where Eagles Dare podcast, featuring Greg Lee and Tubby. How you doing, man?
Doing good, man. Doing good, man. Glad we finally decided to do this.
Well, it was you pushing me into it, and our love of the Eagles that really brought this together. So I wouldn't be here without you. Yeah. I'll say that first of all. But yeah, it's first time doing this, so we expect a little bit of rough spots. I mean,
right.
But I think we're going to have a lot of fun because we're going to do what we do all the time anyway, and that's talk about the Eagles. I mean, as long as I've known you, I was thinking about it the other day. I think we met in 2009, so we've known each other over 10 years.
Over a decade, yeah. I think you came down to see Padre. I think I had this flag, the same flag up yeah. in my office, hanging vertical. And you were like, oh, you're an Eagles fan. Yeah, you better believe it. And that was it, man.
Yeah, exactly.
Watch that Packers game, playoff game.
Oh, yeah, with the Riley Cooper, drop at the end. We don't want to talk about that. But, you know, right. That was the thing was we served in the Air Force together. 2009, we met in England, and it was the love of the Eagles. And, of course, anytime I see an Eagles flag or banner or anything, I'm like, I got to go talk to that guy. Because there's an instant bond with you to find somebody that's the same team of you. And I think Eagles fans may be a little bit biased, but I think we get even more passionate sometimes. So we try to form that alliance to make sure that we go out to games together. And we've seen a few games together over the years, which has been great. Indy a few years ago back in the Chip Kelly era. Saw the Thanksgiving Day blowout. We were talking about that with Mark Sanchez. So we've seen a lot of games. So I think it's only natural that this is the next step in our friendship and our love of the Eagles is to do the podcast. So welcome everyone. If you're here watching it for the first time, we're glad that you're here. This is something we're going to do at least once a week from now. Every week we're going to preview the Eagles upcoming matchup. And then we're going to talk about the outgoing matchup, what happened the week before, the ups and the downs and what is sure to be a crazy season. And let's face it, we're far, far removed from the 2017 championship banner that's hanging up behind me. It was a great year, one of a kind for us as Eagles fans. And then they had a couple of good years afterwards. I mean, we came back to the playoffs, had a really good run with the double doink against Chicago, got to the play the Saints and lost that game after being up 14-0. Mm-hmm. And then the very next year, come back looking strong again until Clowney takes out our boy Wentz with a head-to-head hit, and basically nothing happens to that guy, and we end up out again with poor McCown coming in and trying to lead us, and that was not going to happen. But, you know, after that, then all the wheels fell apart last season. I think that was the time for Philly fans and just the league, Howie and Lurie, Jeffrey Lurie, the owner, had to come together and say, all right, enough's enough. We got to do better. And so we lost a lot of people that meant a lot to us from that run. You know, we lost our boy, Dougie P. You know, that's sad. We lost we lost our quarterback.
One of the consistencies you mentioned to start with is Wentz going down, Wentz going down, Wentz going down. It's the story every year. Story of his time with the Eagles, man. You know, I don't think he's gone because he's necessarily a bad quarterback. He's just not available for us when we need him the most. And that's really been the issue with Carson over the years.
I definitely think that was the contributing factor when Howie Roseman looked at his options at QB, if you draft a quality backup in Jalen Hurts, do you draft him just to sit on the bench, especially where they drafted him at in the second round? Right. I mean, it makes no sense if that's what you're going to do. So it was kind of the writing was on the wall last year. Of course, when you're QB1, you look at that as a threat. So, you know, where do you go from there? But you're right. He had flashes of brilliance. I mean, and if he stays healthy in Indy, God bless him. You know, we saw a game in India. We have a fondness for the Indy fans. They were really cool with us.
Right.
When we
right.
saw, in, you know, actually, and
Monday Night Football
back Monday in night what football. Was, God, was that 2016, I think. And
it all starts to blend together.
It was before the Super Bowl, but yeah, we came from behind, won that game, and everybody just came up to us like, "Yep, you got us," right. you know. And I, after that night, I have like a soft spot in my heart for them. So I hope for them. They're in the other conference, so I don't have to worry about it. I hope that that he actually does good for them and he stays healthy. Right. Of course, he starts the season off with a foot injury, right. has to have surgery. And I saw today he hasn't gotten the vaccine. Mm-hmm. So,
oh, no, he hasn't. Yeah. I didn't know that.
And so there's really massive protocols for the unvaccinated players. Like,
right.
even if they come into contact with somebody that's positive,
right.
they have to quarantine for 5 days, whether they got the COVID or not. Right. And that's huge during week to week prep.
Right. That can cost you two games.
And the fact that he is not, so that could hurt Indy quite a bit if he isn't vaccinated. But yeah, it's sad to see him go. But we, you know, and then of course it's also almost doubly sad to see this guy go. I mean, that was our boy that came through for us.
Yeah, he's been long gone for us, man. Long gone. But that's definitely there's a statue out in front of Link for a reason.
Without Nick, without Nick, I don't think, you know, it would have happened. I don't know if Wentz would have led us through what he did, and he definitely had skills for what system he was in. And the system that Frank Reich, you know, as offensive coordinator, put him in that gave us that Super Bowl. And God bless him. He did good in a backup role for us for years. He's always going to be a hero to Eagles fans. But now he's moved on and went down to Jacksonville for a while and was with the Bears. I think he's still backing up now. He's backing up good old Alex.
Andy Dalton starting, and then Justin Fields is second string. So. Nick is looking like the third string, the veteran in the room.
Yeah, so
right now
I think that's pretty much done. He's probably going to go into the ministry, and like he's always said, he's going to do. I read his book; it was really good about what he's been wanting. You know, what he wants to do when football's all over. So I think he's probably heading that direction. So, but we got a new general, and there he is, right there, Jalen Hurts. Now, you know, the book is out on whether Jalen's going to. Do well for us this year. I mean, we took him in the draft a couple of years ago. We put him on the spot, brought him in. He had a great game against the Saints.
Mm-hmm.
You know, showed off his legs and his throwing ability. After that, it was kind of, you know, up and down, mostly down. And I think a lot of that had to do with the offensive line. But now he's the man. This is it. It's on his shoulders.
Yeah, we'll see. We'll see what's going on. I know we're talking about Jalen right now, but we had him last year. But I think Jeffrey brought in Sirianni. I know we'll get to him as well, Sirianni. I think to see if it was a Frank Reich issue or a Doug Peterson issue, because I think you know we'll see. I mean, he had a great year with Indy last year with the old Phillip Rivers with a 39-year-old quarterback. So we'll see what happens. And I'm excited about Jalen, but you know. We don't know. You know, our host is going to be probably common throughout this entire podcast for me is that, at least today, is that we don't know. There's a lot of wait and see. And Jalen Hurts is definitely one of them.
Yeah, it's you're definitely right because we only got to see a little bit of what he did. And we haven't seen enough, especially under this new system. So there's a whole new system. And like you make an excellent point is that we talk about Frank Reich. Being a really big catalyst of that Super Bowl team. And a lot of people give him a majority of the credit for working with the quarterbacks the way he did and being able to have a system that anybody could work in. He worked to their strengths. He did that for Nick and he did that for Carson. And he even did it for McCown to an extent, you know, afterward. But then we got stolen, you know, he went over to Indy and he's doing great there, did great things with Rivers. And Sirianni, is a disciple. He's been under the Frank Reich system. So you're right. I think that helped him get the job.
And right, no doubt.
It had to have been that thing where, like you said, they're trying to decide whether Nick is going to be the guy or not. So that's a good point. You know, other losses in the offseason. I mean, we had to say goodbye to Alshon Jeffrey finally. DeSean Jackson, you know, that reunion didn't pan out the way we hoped.
Nah, it was one game.
Yeah.
One and done.
Yeah.
And it was. he caught the. That bomb, I think it was against Washington.
Yeah, the opening game last week, last year.
And then that was it.
Yeah.
I think he played a few more drives, and then we haven't seen him. Now he's with L.A. now. So.
Yeah, and we'll see if he stays healthy for them. Yeah. I think L.A.'s fine with or without him, though. But, right. But, yeah, and then on the defense side, probably the biggest loss from a defensive standpoint for me would probably be Jalen Mills. Not that he was the standout corner, but he was solid in that position. But now he's moved on. And
I'm not missing Jalen Mills at all. Not even a little bit.
Here's the
type
thing.
Of guy that the receiver drops the ball when he's burnt, and he still throws up the incomplete sign.
That's true. That's true.
Look, I'd rather have somebody else back there, and we do now. So we'll see what happens.
Yeah,
and we started to move him around. I think he played a little bit of safety as well.
Yeah. Well, as far as we're talking about, or is Jalen at the end?
Jalen.
Yeah, it's hard for me to judge because they were in that short system. Anybody that played for the Eagles, except for maybe the exception of Malcolm Jenkins, under that short system, I don't think that they were going to look good because it was always bend but don't break. And for me, you know how I feel about Jim Schwartz is that was his system. It was not, it was aggressive up front, but he put all his corners out on that zone island. And so anybody that had any length of time picked our defense apart. And, and I'd like to see what the new guy is coming in. We got Jonathan Gannon, who is came with Nick Sirianni from Indianapolis.
Mm-hmm. DB coach out there. He was the DB guy out there. So.
And the Indy corners had a pretty productive year last year.
Right. Middle of the pack. They had a couple takeaways, but I think they were ranked like 10th overall.
Yeah,
the defense.
And I would take that this year.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
So it's going to be interesting to see. You know, a lot of times they say, be careful what you wish for. I don't think I have to worry about that with Schwartz. I've wished for him to be gone for several years. And I'm glad that he did not stay around, become head coach or anything. I would have lost my mind, but.
Yeah, and with the addition of Steven Nelson, remember he picked off Carson Wentz twice last year, so we knew we can go get him at least. You know, free agent picked him up to replace Jalen Mills. So we'll see how he works with Slay. Slay can stay healthy,
exactly.
You know, we have a defensive back minded coach in Gannon, so that's where our weak spots were. You know, our front four has always been good. You know, swapping our guys out. Oh, it's never been the issue. It's been those deep balls. We've been susceptible to the deep balls. Like I said, Jalen Mills would get burnt at least once a game. You know, he was liable for one touchdown a game he could give you. Yeah. That's not good. So,
no, yeah,
I'm happy
agree.
About I'm happy about Steven Nelson. See what he can do.
Yeah, I agree with you. And I think that Nelson's a great pickup for as far as the offseason, I think probably one of the more significant free agent pickups because, you know, the Eagles have that massive cap number that they're dealing with and that they're not going to be able to go out and sign anybody that was going to be a world beater. Maybe next year, once we lose the rest of Carson Wentz's salary off of the salary cap. But then if Jalen turns out to be anything, he's going to need to be paid in a couple of years. So, you know, it all comes back around, but I think the next couple of years are going to be telling as far as when they make those free agent moves, but he was probably the most significant addition free agent wise that the Eagles did. Of course, you know, through the NFL draft, they had probably their best addition in the first round. And I think that we were texting back and forth the night of the draft and you asked me who I wanted. And I said, I want Devontae Smith.
Right.
I didn't think Howie was going to get him. I said, I don't care about the rest of the draft at all. If he messes up this pick, he has the opportunity to get Devontae Smith, and he doesn't get him, then he's got to go.
Right.
And they picked him. I mean,
he picks up the phone and calls who of all people? Yes. The Dallas Cowboys.
Exactly.
Hey, remember, we had the 12th pick.
Yeah.
We didn't have the 10th. We got Devontae at 10th pick, but we called the Cowboys and made that swap with them. I think we gave him our 12th and like the 84th pick or something like that.
Yep.
But, you know, to make that swap with those guys, that was big for us. Yep, traded the 12th and the 84th pick to get him. So that was huge too.
And
they would have picked him up for sure out of spite.
I don't
even need him.
Well, the Dallas wouldn't have picked him up, but who was sitting there at number 11 was the New York Giants.
Right. That's right.
We leaped over them. And
we were trying to leap over somebody. That's right.
And immediately after we picked up Devontae, the Giants traded out of the 11th pick and went all the way down to the bottom of the first round. So, yeah, they're not Giants fans.
That,
I don't
that's
think.
What made it really telling that they definitely wanted Smith. He was and then he goes sign Galladay.
Yeah, exactly. And I think what's funny is the Giants fans are not too happy with us, considering that at the end of last season, if we would have beat Washington, they would have gone to the playoffs instead. Mm-hmm. And we kind of pulled all our starters out in that game, which I was perfectly on board with, because I would rather have a higher draft pick than a meaningless end of year win.
Right.
Yeah, the Giants, you know, cried about that for a little bit. And then,
right.
You know, now with the getting Devontae Smith, I don't think they're really pleased with us.
We filled the rest of the draft in with, you know, a bunch of defenders, and we got Landon Dickinson. We got a backup center.
Yes.
So we got a future center, and then the rest was, I mean, Gainwell, I think he's going to be a bright spot in that draft somewhere, but the rest were like just linebackers, defensive tackles, you know, just filling those voids that we needed.
Right. I think you're right. Landon Dickerson was a pretty good pick in the second round, but he's been often injured, so we don't know
if he's
going to be Kelsey's heir apparent. I mean, it's very
– right.
It's not so much as bad for an offensive lineman, I think, as a skill player. But it's still key to keep an eye on as far as grabbing somebody that he's solid if he's healthy. And then,
right. We don't need him immediately.
No.
So I think that's the plus. Whatever injuries he's going through right now, he can sit back, learn against, you know, one of the best centers in the league. And when we need him, hopefully he does the job. But I think it was a good pickup. I think it was a solid pickup. And because we already had a center, it was no concern. I know he had that injury problem. It's the first thing they talked about during the draft. He's not available.
Right.
But we'll see what happens.
Yeah, I think that, you know, he's going to back up Kelsey if anything happens to Kelsey. Mm-hmm. But Kelsey's been solid. I mean, but we know he's leaving, if not this year. I mean, he always has that I'm ready to go look in his eyes, but then he stays around. So this could be the last year for him for sure. You know, somebody who was his last year was, you know, what's looking like going to be his last year is Andre Dillard at the left tackle spot. we drafted him hoping that he would come in and take over for Jason Peters, who has moved on finally. And he hasn't produced now. Yeah. And I expect him to play like maybe three games before he gets hurt again. The dude was too old and too large to be an offensive line in the NFL. He was always pulling himself out of games, and I love him. I mean, I'm thankful for what he did when he was in his prime, but he's gone now. So we look at bringing Dillard in, and that was a totally waste of a first-round pick. But thankfully, seventh-round Jordan Mailata is looking to fill that spot at left tackle. Has showed flashes last year, and they say he's even better this year, so that would be really good. So we'll see how that goes on the offensive line. So Dickerson, great pick. Line solidified a little bit for the future, I think. So, that was definitely a need. I think also in the draft, round four was key to get Zach McPherson from Texas Tech, because he's going to slide in. He's sliding in all over the backup roles for the corners.
Right.
So he's going to be backing up Steven Nelson and Slay as that third corner. You're not going to be playing nickel. I think that's still going to be Avante Maddox.
Yeah.
But Zach McPherson showed some promise in the preseason, so we'll see how that goes. And then, like you said, Gainwell is really impressed, so much so that the Eagles decided to move Jordan Howard to the practice squad after the preseason, and so they're going to go with him as the running back behind Boston Scott and Miles Sanders, which is interesting. I think what he gives them is that receiving out of the backfield ability and then being able to get through, get through the defense once he's out in space. So that's going to be huge.
I think Boston Scott should be a little nervous. I know we just re-signed him in the offseason, but he should be a little nervous. I'm telling you, Gainwell, like we talked about in the test, I feel like he's like the boy Gibson, Antonio Gibson from Washington. I feel like that's what we're getting with him when I watched him, you know, in the preseason. Now it's preseason. You know, a lot of guys didn't play their starters or anything like that. But, you know, you got a guy running the ball as hard as he was. He definitely wanted to make the team. And he did.
Yeah, I agree. The preseason, talking about the preseason, shifting gears here. It was an interesting preseason. I think that we can admit.
Was there a preseason? Sure, there was a preseason, man.
I think the idea of the NFL going to three games was probably a very good one. Because, you know, the thing is with expanding the games, regular season games to 17, something had to go so that, you know, you don't have, you know, a team getting injured, you know, that whole endurance of a long season. But
right.
But what ended up happening for the Eagles is we basically just said, what preseason? We're just going to not play right. any of our starters. Well, we saw the starters for two series in Pittsburgh. Mm-hmm. And right. and I was actually very pleased with that first half against Pittsburgh. Jalen Hurts looked good. You know, we got some action with actually what's funny is we got some action with Quez Watkins looked outstanding with the touchdown pass from Flacco in the second, I think it was second quarter.
Oh, he took it to took that short pass. And
yeah. Just, so the receivers look good. And, but you know, and then it was it. That was it. It was right. like, we started seeing just the backups. So if you really wanted to get a look at our backups,
right.
find out they weren't that great. That great.
We knew we needed to cut Nick Mullins. That yeah. was apparent. We knew if anything, if that's like the only thing I remember from preseason.
Yeah,
Gainwell and how bad Mullins was.
I don't remember him being that bad with San Francisco.
No, we beat him. I think we played against him.
Yeah,
he had a great start. I think he like broke a record for like most yards in the first games or touchdowns or something like that. He came on and got hot a little bit, but for the most part. Nah, he looked really bad, actually.
I don't know what happened. Yeah, I mean, yeah, this preseason really, I mean, I don't think anybody would pick him up based on his performance for the Eagles because in the second half of the Steeler game, let him down. The Patriot game, oh, my God. And once Flacco went out and he didn't even play long in that game, Mullins just couldn't do anything. And that was an embarrassment, that preseason. But, again, it's preseason. And then the Jet game, you know, we were it was just Flacco in there and the second stringers. They were moving the ball and put up a lot of points. I think it was 24-7 at the half, something like that, and finishing a 31-31 tie. Okay. All right, Nick, I guess you're going out. And so that brings us to another free agent addition that we haven't talked about yet. So the Eagles having to fill that third QB spot, go out and get Gardner Minshew, the mustachioed one from the Jacksonville Jaguars. He of so many great 70s throwback commercials, but not much in the way of offense with the Jags. He had some flashes. I think he's more of a personality than he is a quarterback, but an upgrade from Nick Mullins for sure, and maybe even threatens Flacco. Joe Flacco. Yeah,
Gardner Flacco, he couldn't complete some of the simple out routes, just simple dump off passes, 5 yards, 10 yards here. He was struggling. I guess that's why they say, hey, we can get Lamar to throw the 5 outs, man. If you're going to just, if you're not even going to hit those, we could just get Lamar.
Yeah.
You could be on the way. And I see why. Like, I was like, man, this is Joe Flacco. And he's that garbage, man. But shout out to Audubon, New Jersey. Where he's from. Okay. It's just a city over from Camden. You know,
you know, he did win a Super Bowl and he's, it kept his team competitive, but a lot of that was on the defense. Let's be fair. Yeah. He actually looking at his numbers, he's one of the top ranked passers in the history of the NFL as far as yardage.
No doubt. He had one of the best playoff runs in history. But he's wearing an Eagles helmet right now.
Yeah, exactly. We're
talking about the Eagles version of Flacco. Philly fans don't care what you did yesterday. They don't care what you did the last game. I mean, one game, Mark Sanchez was getting cheesesteaks bought by fans. The next thing, they was running him out of Philly. It's like, hey.
Yeah, exactly. Butt fumble, too, and everything was over after that. Right. So.
Right.
I don't even want to talk about the Sanchez.
You could be Nelson Aguilar and win the Super Bowl with the Eagles and then have a guy on the news say, we're catching the babies, unlike Aguilar. I mean, it's like. Doesn't matter. What have you done for me lately?
That's true.
The thing, man.
Yeah, and I think that what you know, looking at Minshew is the fact that he's a little bit more mobile than Flacco is. So he's not gonna take over for Jalen just yet. But one of the things that we've talked about is that the Philly fans in the stands, if Jalen starts to struggle, they won't be calling Flacco's name. They'll be calling Minshew's name out.
Absolutely. They'll have their jorts on, fake mustaches.
Oh, my God. I can't see that.
Maybe a mullet. Do you have a mullet? I don't think. Did he have a mullet?
A little bit. He wore the headband and the jorts. Yeah, it's going to be insane. But
they're two different quarterbacks, man. Yeah. But you know, like we talked about before, you know, kind of offline as well, is when you have a new coach and that quarterback is already there, that quarterback is not safe. And it took a while for Nick to even crown Hurts, the quarterback. Right. Like it's not even any confidence. Then you bring in a new guy right at the end.
Yeah.
So I'm definitely, Hurts is, we know he's better than Flacco and Mullins that was on that roster. And you still didn't crown him as your quarterback. What were you waiting for?
Yep.
And then you bring Gardner Minshew in.
Exactly.
So we'll see, man. We'll see.
You know, I think, like I said, they had to have that.
He's Phillip Rivers in Gardner Minshew.
He's what? Maybe
he sees some Phillip Rivers in Gardner Minshew.
Yeah, maybe. I mean, could be. I mean, that's actually, the thing is about him having a quarterback like Rivers, that's what he's looking for is somebody that mobile but not – run first type QB. And I think that's what he's going to try to do with Jalen Hurts is use his legs as an option. Because let's face it, we know those guys can come in for the first 2-3 years of their career. But we've seen it before where the overusage of them outside of the pocket just leads to injury. It doesn't give them a longevity that they need to do. We saw it toward McNabb toward the end of his career. He just couldn't. You got defensive linemen, 300 pounds catching him from behind because his legs were gone. And so they had to work on his accuracy and had to work on the downfield passing in a different offense. But it's nice, like right now we've got Jalen, if he does come through where we've got that mobile quarterback that can see downfield, and if he plays any even half as good as like he did at Oklahoma, we got something. But like you said, all the time we don't know, and that's a big thing about this team is there's a lot of unknowns. They, on paper, it could be a really good team,
right? But looking at our receiving core, in the preseason, like we talked about before, they're all short, about 6 foot. But we have, remember Travis Fulcombe,
yes,
from last year, he had those spots, he's on the practice squad, so it becomes an issue. Where we need a big guy, man, we may have to.
Yeah,
we have to get Travis Fulcombe. That's the only issue I have during the preseason. You can see those big catch guys, but we'll see. We'll see how that rolls.
Well, that's the thing is, if you're looking at
JJ, it's not it.
No, not Arthega Whiteside. No, in fact, we talked about this a ton of times, and I think going back to the draft is that could have had DK Metcalf, chose JJ, could have had Justin Jefferson, chose Rager. I think this is Rager's really moment if he doesn't produce this year where we're he's going to find himself out of a job. Same thing with Arthega. I mean, Arthega's backing up both wide receiver positions, but he's not starting. And we got Quez Watkins at number three. And like you said, somebody would surprise me. I thought Fulgham really shone when he came in last year off the practice squad, but he's back there this year. So it's not understandable that he's going to be there all year. He could come in and produce. He didn't have a great preseason, so I think that hurt him. So that was, I think that when you look at the offense, we still have two tight ends that most of the league would kill to have in Ertz and Goddard. And that's why I'm wearing the Ertz jersey today, because I'm just shocked he's still an Eagle. So you've got that, and then you've got one of the better offensive line in the league. As long as Brandon Brooks can stay mentally focused and not have to take time off. And then you've got, of course, you've got Kelce, and we already talked about Jordan Mailata. Isaac Seumalo is, he's capable. And then, of course, you've got the anchor at right tackle in Lane Johnson. So you put all that together with those receivers and Miles Sanders in the backfield. Offensively, if the right scheme is there, and we don't know what Nick's going to do, but if he does, because he didn't show us anything in the preseason, we're not going to see that.
No.
This could be a good offensive team. It's when you look at the defense that you wonder a little bit. My biggest concern with the defense always is going to be the linebacker. We didn't draft a linebacker until the last round, and he's not even on the team. He's on the practice squad. So, we're gone are the days of having Jordan Hicks Michael Kendricks, Nigel Bradham, where we had those run stuffing, pass rushing linebackers that could just destroy you. And not only do that, but they can intercept passes over the middle. They can make you pay for throwing to tight ends out of the backfield. And I mean, look at what Devin White did for the Buccaneers in the playoffs last year. I mean, he was all over the place, two interceptions in the playoffs, but he was just dominant. You couldn't go over the middle against that guy. And it really messed up what the Chiefs were trying to do in the Super Bowl. So I think the Eagles undervalue the linebacker position. And if you look at ours, what we're starting, Jannard Avery, Eric Wilson, and Alex Singleton at linebacker. Okay.
Mm-hmm. Singleton's a new captain now as well.
Yeah. Singleton has some intensity. He missed some tackles in the preseason that I saw, but he makes plays too. Mm-hmm. He's like that risk reward type guy, but no one there that anybody in the rest of the league is that are jumping over themselves to get. And I think that's the problem is teams that can run the ball really well. If they get past our front four, which let's be honest, front four, we don't even need to talk about. We got Derek Barnett, you know, could be shaky, could be better. We got Graham, Fletcher Cox, and then we added Javon Hargrave to that defensive front four. And then we got Ryan Kerrigan coming off the bench in his later years, but still, he's always disrupted us when we played him with Washington. But if those running backs get to those linebackers, it God help us.
That's, you get ugly, man.
And then tight ends and receivers over the middle. If we've got linebackers covering the middle and we don't have corners, we don't go to more of a nickel coverage, it's gonna be slaughter. Outside of that, I mean, I like Steven Nelson, like we mentioned before. I love Darius Slay. And I do think that you know, we still have a solid safety in Rodney McLeod, and then we picked up Anthony Harris. So I don't worry so much about the defensive backs. But if you don't have a single solitary good linebacker, somebody who can stop the run and cover the pass, or hybrid or two like we used to have with Hicks, we're going to be in trouble.
Right, because Hicks could drop back in coverage, catch that key interception for us when we needed to. He was definitely a vocal point, man. Kind of goes into our matchup, man, with the Falcons, basically.
Yeah, exactly. So that's what we're doing.
Talking about what we're going to do or how we're going to stop, you know.
Yeah, and so
Falcons are supposedly bringing that blitz in. You know, that's one of the number one things. Two new coaches.
Yeah.
So we don't really know. It's two new coaches. It's going to be an unknown game.
Well, that's the thing. 3-0. Looking at the line. Falcons are the Falcons are 3.5-point favorites. Eagles underdogs going into week one against a team that not a lot of people are picking to do much this year.
Right.
So the Eagles are 3.5-point underdogs that's on the crazy. Road. And yeah, like you said, Dan Quinn is out at Atlanta, and they've got Arthur Smith. Yeah, as their new head coach.
Tennessee.
It came out of the Titans as somewhat successful, you know.
Right.
You know, actually out of the Titans organization. So, but he's an unknown, like you said. It this game and this season is a lot of unknown. So I think I don't even think we're going to have a lot of answers after this game, but we'll know which one's better between the Eagles and the Falcons and the two new coaches. I think we'll finally get to see the starters for more than a quarter. But the Falcons, and they're in a rebuilding mode. They're not, I mean, Julio Jones is gone. So Calvin Ridley is their number one guy. So they've got, you know, they've got issues. They still got, you know, bringing Matt Ryan back. But outside of that, what do they have? Well, you know what they have as far as coming out of the draft. They've got one star that could probably eat our linebackers up, and that's Kyle Pitts.
Right. That's the only concern. He's the only concern I really have. I just hope he doesn't have rapport with Flacco, but he's a hell of a talent. Like, he can line him up out there where Julio was. You may not know the difference. He's a hell of an athlete, man.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, he could be wide out, like you said. Yeah. And he's just a beast at the position. And lining up a tight end, I think that really it plays into one of our weaknesses. I think if you look at the game on paper, at the matchup, that's probably the biggest glaring weakness is Pitts versus the linebackers. Do you see any other matchups where the Eagles might be at a disadvantage in this game?
Well, the Falcons are planning the blitz. They got to do Dean Pease. He's there talking about it today. Even Nick Sirianni. They were just talking about the relationship between Kelce and Hurts to be able to adjust. They're going to blitz early and often. And I think if Hurts can get the ball out of your hand, I think it's a good matchup for us.
Yeah.
Because if you miss Hurts, man, you're in trouble. So if you're constantly sending guys and you miss, man, you have your entire secondary wide open, and he can hurt you. So I think as long as our line protects and holds up to the blitz, I don't see the Eagles as being the underdog in this one. I see us almost being a touchdown favorite. I don't know if we talked about predictions, but I don't really see
right.
the Falcons. I don't see it.
I actually don't have it in front of me as far as where they ranked in pass defense last year, but I know that the Falcons were around the bottom of the league in pass defense as far as their corners, and they haven't gotten any better.
They were known for blowing games. They were like the laughing stock last year because they would just blow a game.
And so they added some of the least sought after free agents in at the position this year in the offseason. So their defensive backs are Eric Harris and Daron Harmon at safety, Fabian Moreau at corner. And then the second-year player that that they have there, A.J. Terrell, is probably their best cover corner. And like you said, if Hurts gets any length of time against that pass rush, and I don't even think their pass rush is that great. I mean, Grady Jarrett.
That's my point. Like, that's exactly where I'm going with it.
Grady Jarrett is okay, but the rest of it, I just don't see it. So, yeah, it's interesting because I think that could open up a lot of things for the Eagles offense to just tear them up down the field. And so I think that if they come out running the ball, that could make a big difference. We may struggle if they just play that conventional offense. I don't know what Sirianni is going to do, but they really have a weakness at corner. So that's something that the Eagles can exploit.
Exactly. That's a good combination for us. You have a weakness at corner and you're trying to blitz us. That's not a good combination.
Right.
For any defense, you need good corners if you're going to blitz. So I guess this is where our smaller receivers, our quick receivers, even our fast backs can get out. You know, you see the blitz coming from one side, get it back out on the other, you know, or right at that blitz or just stepping up. Now, blocking, that's the concern. As far as a disadvantage, I think having our backs stay in there and block for Jalen. Miles Scott can block, actually. I got to give him his little props. He can block. Boston Scott can block. And in Gainwell, I'm just not really sure of that. He's a little guy, man. I don't think he's stopping Jarrett.
Yeah, I think you're right. That's the thing that I think, because we don't have that big back there like Jordan Howard could have been. He's sitting on the practice squad. Boston Scott showed flashes of being a good blocker, like you said. Mm-hmm. Miles. Right. Yeah, I think we're going to be relying on our front five to keep people off of Jalen all year long.
So that almost makes us keep another tight end in, and that's what makes me think like a lot of two sets with two tight end sets with Hurts and Goddard, you know, to make up for that small back that's back there. So we'll see, man.
I agree. I think so. Going into this matchup, I think we both agree that Eagles getting 3.5 points is. Mm-hmm. I think it's basically. And the reason is because it's unknown. I think they're just going with the home team. Mm-hmm. They're looking at everything on paper. And you know, you still got Matt Ryan, who's more experienced. If you want to talk about quarterback position, he's more experienced than Jalen Hurts. So they got a little bit of an advantage there. But they have everywhere else other than Pitts and Ridley. I mean, look at their running back position. Mike Davis, Cordell Patterson. I mean, really? They don't scare us on as far as the run game. So that's where our weak linebacker core might be at an advantage, because they can definitely stop those guys. So we'll just have to see. It's gonna be a fun game. 1:00. I definitely will be watching it and be ready for a breakdown next week. Hopefully it's a victory. I'm gonna predict. I would say if I was gonna have to predict a game, I'd say it probably would be low scoring, only because of Jalen Hurts getting his feet wet in the first game, not playing a lot in the preseason. So let's go around 24-10 Eagles.
24-10 Eagles?
Yep.
I was thinking more 17-10 around that line. Yeah. Just that touchdown, like maybe some struggles.
I'll give him a late touchdown.
And then we catch a groove. But I say 17-10 Eagles. But I don't think they're an underdog in this matchup. I don't see it.
No.
I mean, anything can happen. But we'll see, man. We'll see. Indy had a good – I mean, the only thing we can look – look at Indy's offense last year to see what Sirianni is capable of, and you have to look at the Tennessee last year to see what Smith is capable of. So it's like we're not even looking at film of the team that they're playing. They're watching film, you know, a little preseason, but we didn't show them much in the preseason, like you mentioned. So you have to literally go back to teams that they've coached before to even get an idea of what they're capable of, because we know Nick didn't show anything in that preseason. So, and he didn't have his starters in. So, he definitely wasn't running the number one plays without the starters. That makes it look even sloppier. So,
yeah,
I like this matchup for it. I think it's a good week one matchup for Sirianni. I mean, I think this is like the perfect storm. You got a rookie coach. You're not going up against Belichick week one. You know, you're not going up against Tampa like the Cowboys have week one as a new coach. You're going up against a team that didn't perform well last year in the Falcons. A new coach, they have a new staff. We have a new staff, and I like our talent better on our side.
Yeah, I agree wholeheartedly. I think that it's a great first game for them to play to get their feet wet, because the schedule doesn't get any easier after that.
Right.
And it looks like a rough schedule, but again, if everything works out according to plan, I don't think we're gonna know anything more. After this game, I don't think we're going to know how good they are unless they go out and score 45 points. Then we might go, hey, this team's better than we thought. But I think that's not going to be the case. I think it's going to come out where there'll still be a lot of questions. I just hope they come out healthy. It's going to be a long season. And the key for us has always been keeping the offensive line healthy. We got some backups out there now. But we have some depth, because they were shopping offensive linemen at the end of the preseason, trying to get some deals and trying to get some other people into here to help us out. But yeah, so I think that's going to be key. I think is coming into that matchup and the Falcons not knowing what to expect. I think that was the benefit of not having the preseason show your cards. I think you make an excellent point there, because I don't even know. I couldn't tell you what offense they're running, what defense they're running. You know, in the preseason, Gannon ran a lot of cover two zone. Mm-hmm. But that doesn't mean that's what he's going to run when the regular season. When he's got corners like Steven Nelson and Slay that can cover in space, we don't know. I mean, like, you got to say it over and over again. We don't know.
all my Eagles friends that I talk to, it's the same thing. I ask them, hey, man, what you think about the Eagles? Talk to my brother even about it. Think about the Eagles this year. Am I missing something out of preseason? I don't know. I don't know what's going on. So it's been the consensus amongst Eagles fans is we're going to wait and see. But I'm excited, man. This could be a great chapter. We never know.
I know we talked about it a lot, is that the expectation for the season, usually we either too hyped or we're pretty down about our prospects. But this season is weird. With that feeling of just wait and see, and let's do, you know, that, you know, I don't think in the 2017 season when they won the Super Bowl, I think we didn't expect Carson Wentz in his second year to come out and play the way he did, to come out and for that everything to gel and come together like it did. I think we had expectations of having a successful season, but never what we did to go through the games and be 11-1 after 12 games. And I think anybody expected that. So that's the beauty of the NFL. We just got to wait and see. The only thing that I think is a given is the Cowboys will suck. Well, shout out to all my Cowboy fans, friends that I have out there. And I have too many friends that are Cowboys fans, but I always give them crap. I don't even want to talk about the Cowboys on this broadcast. They're going to be, unless I say bad things, they're playing on Thursday. So I am excited. I have this thing where I will not watch the Cowboys unless they're the only thing on. So
is that right?
I just don't want to hear the announcers talk about them. I don't even want to see them.
Especially if it's Troy Aikman in the booth. He's trying to act like he's not biased.
Oh,
like,
come good on, Lord, yeah.
Come on, man.
It's the absolute worst. But I'm hoping that they get trounced on Thursday by Tampa Bay coming out, dropping the banner and everything like that. So I'm excited for tomorrow just to see some football with starters in it all the way to the end.
Exactly.
And I don't even care if it is the Cowboys. So Sunday is just going to be insane. Eagles back, been waiting for it. So we've got a lot to look forward to. Next week, we will be back with a recap of that Falcons game. A little bit of highlights and talk about hopefully a lot of highlights and not low lights. And then we'll also preview the week 2 matchup. If you want to email us for anything or any comments, you can do so. The email at the bottom of the screen there is lee.bird. That's byrd.eaglesdare@gmail.com. And you can also find us every week on YouTube at the Where Eagles Dare podcast, as well as Twitch. Please give us a follow on those areas, and you can find out whenever we're going to be on, as well as our Facebook page, Where Eagles Dare podcast as well. Easy to find us. So do you have any parting words there, Tubby, before we depart?
Do you want to tell the folks about your picks? Or
you know what I think we're going to do is I will mention that I do run a buy spreads pick'em game. I have not had a chance to do my picks this week. I'm always late. Got to get them in before Thursday. So I think what we'll do is, it's going to keep me honest if I'm doing them on this podcast. What we're going to do is talk about who our leaders are every week and our picks game. And I may even get you back into it so that we can put you up there with the leaderboard and see how that goes.
we have a picks one in my fantasy league too.
Oh,
by
good.
By the way, I'm starting Devontae Smith this week.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, fantasy players.
I'm starting Devontae Smith this week. I'm just going to it's between him and Adam Thielen. And I don't know. I'm just going to watch the Eagles game, obviously. So I'm just like, you know what? I'm just starting him because he's such a playmaker. And I just feel like there could be a good rapport between him and Jalen Hurts. Man, just that Alabama rapport somehow. It's been,
Do you think there are any other Eagles players that are worth a start other than Devontae? I mean, what about Sanders or Hurts?
I think Sanders is a start. I have Hurts on my bench, starting Logan Thomas over him. But, you know, I think I could very well start Hurts, though. You know, I could put him in there, and I think he's still going to get 5 or 6 catches.
Yeah.
I just think the way they're – I think if they're running a constant 2 tight end set, I still think he's a better receiver than Goddard. Goddard's just better overall at his blocking.
Right.
But you know, Ertz is he's still a hell of a talent, man.
I'm glad to have him. For me, I'm in a kind of a quandary as far as fantasy teams in our league that we're in together. Is I've got Matt Ryan and I got Jalen Hurts as my quarterbacks.
Okay.
So compared to what we talked about today, Matt Ryan could have a big day with Kyle Pitts and Calvin Ridley. But then by the same token, Hurts is going up against one of the worst, probably one of the worst secondaries in the league. Right. So that's going to be a game time decision for me on who we go with. Otherwise, I probably wouldn't start Hurts this week unless you don't have a really stronger option. I think Devontae Smith's a must start. I think Miles Sanders is you got to start him every week if you've got him on your team. And again, like you said, Hurts would kind of be like, yeah, depending on what other tight end you have.
Other than that, man, I like the fact that we are away and we're facing the rookie coach and staff.
Yeah.
I think those are really good pluses, man. Since it's open up in Philly, you hear those boos early. That could mess with you first game in Philly.
Yeah.
And things don't go well and the crowd starts. It ain't just first time folks are really going to be back in there.
Yep.
You know, so folks are anxious when that first game in Philly is going to be a crowd. I know Atlanta's going to be rocking, but – you know, at least it's a home game. I mean, at least it's an away game. I think that's an advantage for us. I really do. I really do think being away, figuring it out for the first week, going up against a winnable matchup for sure, regardless if I don't know how my team is going to perform or not.
I agree, man. It's going to be fun no matter what. I'll be here. I wish, again, you're in another location. We don't live close anymore, but I'm glad we could do this. Right. We always will be texting on game day. We used to watch the games together, but we will always still text no matter what. Hopefully it's all good things, but we'll just see what happens. So again, email address lee.bird@eaglesdare@gmail.com. Follow us on YouTube as well as Twitch and Facebook, just to keep us honest, and you can be on here and give us comments and let us know what you think about how we cover the Eagles from week to week. So we'll be back here again next week to cover what happens between the Falcons. So I'm looking forward to it. Right. Tubby, any parting words?
No, man. Thanks for tuning in.
All right. Sounds good. Well, guys, this is the end of episode one of the Where Eagles Dare podcast, something that we do for ourselves, but mostly for you guys. So until next week, fly, Eagles, fly, baby.